Would everyone in the Senate chamber, as well as our guests and friends in the gallery, please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 67th Psalm, we read, May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Gracious God, the days may grow longer as we do what must be done here, and the end of the week seems so far away. So we ask, Lord, that we might be mindful that all the words that are spoken carry with them issues and concerns that others believe as being important to be heard. May due consideration be given to them. And even though we may differ, let us make our decisions for the greater good for Missouri. We continue to pray for the frontline medical people as they continue to address the well-being of their patients during this difficult time. And we ask, Lord, that you guide the minds of the researchers as they seek to find a cure against COVID-19. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, buddy. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum has been established. Senator from Cole is here. Senator from 20th is here. A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 48th day, Monday, May 4th, 2020. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that the reading of the journal be dispensed with and it be approved as though having been fully read. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the journal. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Boone. Senator from the 14th, for what reason you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to ask for a personal point of privilege, please.
The senator from the 14th district has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, I bring before the body, I wanted to kind of just talk about something that had been on my mind and things that's been happening in my office and has had an impact on my life. My assistant, executive assistant, Christine Bronner's husband, passed away this week. He was struggling with cancer, and it had been something that we had been working through as an office. And as I think about it, coming into this job, I didn't think in a short period of time that someone would become such an important part of your life, and they understand every faction of what you do. And Christine has been that person for me over the past year and a half, and I've been fortunate to be able to go through this journey with her and see how painful this has been for someone who values family, someone who has treated my family as family, and it's a very challenging time for her. I wasn't sure how this death was going to impact me, because I've had an opportunity to get to know her husband, Patrick, as well. But it reminds me how short life is and how important it is for us to value the time that we have here on this earth, and just going through the times that we're going through with this pandemic, and just the opportunity to be here and to be here with each other and to have our families. It just reminds me that we need to keep those things first as we navigate through what we do, whether it's differences, as we navigate through the challenges that we have back home in our districts and beyond. So if we can just take a moment of silence for Christine and her family, and also keep in mind that we should value life while we have it, and understand that while we're here on this earth, we should be kind and thoughtful to each other. Thank you, Mr. President.
Would the Senate rise for a moment of silence in memory of Patrick Rauner? Thank you. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be reports of standing committees.
It's going to be short. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Mr. President, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, and the Environment has a report.
Please send that report forward, and Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 2120, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Wallingford, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that you recognize the Senator from Phelps for a privilege motion on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 599 with House Amendments 1 through 3.
Senator from Phelps County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privilege motion.
State your motion.
I move that Senate Bill number 599 with House Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Phelps County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 599 be adopted.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain the substitute?
I would. Mr. President, this is legislation dealing with the Linked Deposit Loan Program. Mr. President, considering we are in trying to resuscitate our economy at this time, this legislation is more than vital today than when I filed this bill earlier in this session. This legislation will help small business and farmers gain capital to help jumpstart their businesses. This bill took on several amendments while it was in the House. I distributed a chart that tracks these changes and explains what they do. In my opinion, there was nothing terribly controversial on the bill. There is no new language in the substitute. It has all had at least one hearing, except one Senate bill, Senate Bill 984. If Senator has any questions, I will try to answer the best of my ability. However, please remember, most of this is not my legislation, and that is why I have distributed the chart.
Senator, would you like to bring up Let me restate the motion for the benefit of the body, and then we can talk about the House amendments. The senator from Phelps County has moved for the adoption of the House Committee substitute for the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 599. Senator, did you have a House amendment you wanted to bring up to start the process?
I do.
Senator, would you want to move for the adoption of House Amendment Number 1?
I would move for the adoption of House Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain House Amendment Number 1?
I would entertain any questions on that, if has any questions regarding it.
The senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of House Amendment Number 1 for the House Committee substitute to Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 599. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from Phelps?
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. And I appreciate the chart. That is extremely helpful. Do you know which one of these was the House Amendment 1 that we're considering now? I'm not sure. If I have that on my desk, it is currently buried, and I haven't seen the amendments.
Yep. Senator, these amendments that are being distributed now are actually not on my chart.
The amendments are not on the chart. So
right.
what was House Amendment?
There's two. Three, I'm sorry.
What was House Amendment 1? Do you have the information on it? I think I'm about to receive a little more information on it, Senator. Thank you. All right. One of our faithful doormen has just delivered to me a copy of the amendment. So this is, okay, I'm looking at 2-1. So House Amendment 1 was the members' deposit fund. Okay, that's the creation of that fund, apparently. That was Representative Pike's amendment, looks like. All right, it looks like that the only change there. Oh, that's the 2-6%. Apparently that's the amendment that gives us the 2% or 6% as options. Looks like that Amendment 1 was the option that we considered here just within the last few days that gives new 2% and 6% choices as opposed to just 0 or 4% on that. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
We're on the adoption motion of House Amendment Number 1 to the House Committee substitute. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps County has moved for the adoption of House Amendment Number 1 for the House Committee substitute to the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 599. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted House Amendment Number 1. Senator from Phelps.
The adoption of House Amendment Number 2.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain Amendment Number 2?
I believe the amendment has been distributed, and I would entertain any questions on that from any body.
for the benefit of the body, each session when we get to the first one of these, sometimes the dust has to be blown off the manual. We will clarify this momentarily. Senator from Boone County. Or Senator from Phelps.
Or the Senator from Boone, please.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Just I want to explain what we're doing here. So there are two different kind of formats that we follow depending on how the House sends the bill over. This one had a House committee substitute, and so we're going to roll back part of what we've just done. All we have to do is adopt the House committee substitute as one package. That will happen, I believe, via a voice vote, and then we will third read the House committee substitute with all of those amendments that the apt chart includes, and then that will be a roll call vote. If they send it over on the floor, then we have to adopt each amendment separately. So those are the distinctions as we get further into session. Those are the distinctions that we'll make, whether or not they add the bills in committee or add the bills on the floor. That will determine how we vote on it. So I think we're going to pull back, Senator, at some point, pull back. You'll make the motion to adopt the House committee substitute. That'll happen via a voice vote. We'll third read the bill, and then we'll start talking about the budget. That's the goal. Thank you, Senator.
For the benefit of the body, the chair is being told we do not need to change the actions that's happened already. The senator has already moved for the adoption of the House committee substitute. The House committee substitute contains House Amendment 1, 2, and 3. So we're on the adoption motion of the House committee substitute, which would roll all of those amendments up into it. It will be a voice vote. The motion before the floor is the adoption of the House committee substitute that contains the three House amendments. Is there any discussion needed on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The Senator from Phelps renews his motion that the House committee substitute as amended be adopted. All those for Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 599. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps, you are recognized now for the third read motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 599 be third read and finally passed.
Senator, this has been a test for the body and for the nice folks that work very hard at the dais. The House committee substitute adoption was actually to be a roll call vote. So we're going to back up to that motion. We voice voted it, but it will be a roll call vote. I apologize to the members. We're all working under different conditions, and we will get through this. The motion before the floor that the senator has closed on is the adoption of the House committee substitute. Madam Secretary, please call the roll on the adoption of House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 599.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibola, Luchtemeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from the fifth votes aye. By a vote of 31 aye and 0 no, you have adopted the House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 599. Senator for Phelps, you are recognized in the third read motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 599 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Phelps County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 1st District.
Or the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. All right. So it's Tuesday morning. We were away for 5 weeks. Well, 6 weeks. One, we wouldn't have been in session. And we're having some technical difficulties, and that will happen. But I want to take a moment to recapitulate where we in fact now are. So we have adopted the House Committee substitute, which is to say all of the amendments are now incorporated into what is before the body. We have just approved every single House amendment to this bill as part of a bill going forward. Is that your understanding, Senator?
Correct.
I have that right. Okay.
Yep, you're correct.
So,
Mr. President, can we get some quiet here?
If we could keep our conversations to a minimum or take them to the side gallery so the senators can hear each other in their dialogue. Senators, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So it's abundantly clear at this point we no longer, at least as I understand it, absent a motion to reconsider, are at a place where we could pick and choose amongst the amendments. We like one. We aren't okay with two. Three seems all right. We've foregone that opportunity.
That's why I distributed the chart.
Understood.
For the benefit of the body.
Yeah, and so at this point, we can either pass your third read motion, we can not pass your third read motion, or I suppose, would a conference motion still be in order at this point?
It would be.
Okay, and I understand that that's not what you want to see happen. You want to see us, in effect, truly agree and finally pass on our next vote this entire bill, correct?
I went through these amendments, and I honestly, I do not see an amendment on there that would.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I am still having trouble hearing.
If we could keep our conversations to a minimum, or take them to the side gallery, even if it is the Appropriations Chairman, I'm sure the two senators would appreciate being able to hear each other. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That is an option to answer your question, and I've been through these amendments, and I chose not to take it to conference before we tried this because I think there's not an amendment in here that's detrimental to the underlying bill. I think they all address the financial needs of a lot of these institutions, the state treasurer's office, to resuscitate what we've got going on with the economy right now.
Well, and right now I'm less focused on substance than I am on process, but I think the process is important because my concern is at this moment, I think the way it's unfurled this morning and that this can happen, I'm concerned that at this point, if members of the body had concern with one of these amendments, that a substitute motion for conference may not be in order at this point, and I'm looking to the side table for a nod or a shake of the head. And I'm not getting anything of the sort as to whether a conference motion as a substitute motion could still happen. But my suspicion is that we are now in a place, again, absent reconsideration, where we've got all these amendments. So unless I'm corrected on that, my next question is going to be, could you please take just a moment to explain not the First Amendment, which we actually had some discussion on, but the other amendments that we have now apparently adopted from the House? I've got the chart right in front of me. So there are how many total amendments from the House?
Three
amendments. All right. So I've got a chart with it's maybe 4 or 5 pages long. There's like 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine, 10, 11. So I see there's like 11 rows on this spreadsheet. And are you telling me that 3 of these rows made the cut and 8 of them didn't? Or am I not following correctly? And I don't mean to keep you from having a sidebar. I just... All right. No, you're fine. I understand these things happen. So of the 11 rows on this spreadsheet that I've got, and it's got a big 599 stamped at the top of it.
What we tried to do with this, and the House handler, Representative Bondin, we worked together on trying to get these to where, you know, you've got where the House votes were and the Senate handler and where they were in committee, you know, coming out of the Senate, too.
So are all of these House bills now rolled into 599 or just three of them? I know there were three amendments, but did the amendments each take in more than one bill, I guess, is the question. I see House Bill 1467, which is the underlying bill. Not the underlying bill. We had 1467 in our hopper last night. I see 1543, 2205, 1702, 2461, 1736, 2204, 2092. Are those all separate bills that are incorporated in this now, or some incorporated and some not, because there were only three amendments, I guess is my question. And I'm asking all this in an effort not to just go through the bill, but because I don't want to take that much time. I just want to make sure I understand where we are and what we're doing.
Yeah, all the bills are in there, plus the amendments. House Amendment number 2, if you look down on the list, it's
right.
It's going to be on page 3 of your chart.
Okay.
Senator Whelan was a handler.
Right.
On this side.
Okay. A moment here. I'm having trouble flipping pages. Masks get in the way of things sometimes. All right. So that's the Division of Finance, Fee, Consistency. That's Representative Trent's language. All right. So what about the rest of this?
Right.
Is it all in the substitute? Okay, I see
some language. All right, that's helpful. Of that amendment, though, is in that bill.
Got it. All right. Well, so in other words, we got three amendments that account for 11 bills.
Sorry.
We have three amendments that the House put on that included language from 11 separate House bills.
No, they were all in the Senate, too. Or the bills were already in there from the committees.
Okay. I see. So three of these are four amendments. The rest were added in committee. Got it. That would make sense. All right. So I am not going to take the body's time right now to go through the substance of what's in front of us. And part of the reason I say that is I suspect one or more other members of the body may be inclined to do that. So we are where we are. I don't mean to make the biggest deal out of it. We just got off to a slightly askew start this morning, and that can happen. So thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the motion for the third read on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 599, Senator from the 24th District.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. We got an amendment on our desks, amendment number 2, sponsored by Representative Trent, and we just voted on that and included that now in this sub, and I'm concerned about it, and I want to walk through it with you because it seems to me that it does a couple of things. It takes away the ability of local political subdivisions to enforce or put into place laws to limit what amounts to a payday lender or an installment loan lender's ability to put into place all kinds of fees and charges when people take out longer short-term loans than a traditional payday lender. And I'm really concerned about that because I think it is, you know, especially at a time when people are short of cash because so many people are out of work, and even though they're getting some subsidies, we know that people are going to turn to places for loans. And this doesn't allow a local political subdivision, if I'm reading it correctly, to put into place any kind of rules or regulations in their communities about what these installment lenders may charge. And it doesn't, well, let me read to you the language and see if you have a different opinion than I do, but I'm trying to get my head around what this does. It says under this law that we cannot create, the word any was inserted, any disincentives for any traditional installment loan lender from engaging in lending under the sections in Chapter 408, and any fee charged to any traditional installment loan lender that is not charged to all lenders licensed or regulated by the Division of Finance shall be considered a disincentive in violation of this section. So we are now either everybody gets charged, or instead of just charging the traditional installment loan lenders, so every lender, regardless of whether they're an installment loan lender or just a typical bank, or
this is regarding non-traditional financing, not just banks. I mean, you got to realize, I will speak for this amendment. And I think Senator Whelan was the handler of this bill on this side, but my take on this bill is just put consumer protection. I mean, you're talking about interest rates that are could be up to several hundred percent.
Yeah.
There's other. I'm not the only banker in this room, you know. So if Senator Whelan, this is his bill.
Yeah.
He could probably explain it a little better than I.
Well, my concern.
She's
yeah.
spent many years in the banking business.
Right, and I you know, it goes on the second page of it. To say that any traditional loan lender who prevails against a political subdivision in an action to enforce this section will receive, I mean, already we're putting into statute instead of letting the courts handle it, should some of this go to court, then it's already stating that the political subdivision will be responsible for attorney's fees. This is, to me, this one provision that we just passed will put into place people who are the most vulnerable, especially right now. I mean, clearly, if nothing else, this pandemic has exposed how many people are living on the edge and are living paycheck to paycheck. Those very people are the people who often turn to these payday or installment lenders, and this weights the balance in favor of the installment lender and against the people who are desperately seeking a shorter term loan that may not be able to get one at a traditional bank. So I just wanted to ask you about that, and if the senator from Jefferson wants to talk to me about that, I'm happy to let him. But because of this amendment on the bill, on third read, I'm going to end up being a no vote because I think this hurts some of our most vulnerable consumers.
I respect your position, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the third read motion of the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 599. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps has renewed his motion that the House Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 599 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 599, an act relating to financial instruments. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luchtmeyer, May. Nasheed. O'Loughlin. Onder. Riddle. Rizzo. Rowden. Sater. Schatz. Shoup. Sifton. Wallingford. Walsh. White. Whelan. Williams.
Senator from Platt votes aye. By your vote of 25 aye and 6 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tiling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for third. House bills for third reading on the formal calendar, and I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Committee substitute for House Bill 2001.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be House bills for third reading, formal calendar.
Straight up.
Senator from Andrew County.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we're beginning the budget process, and so I appreciate everybody. I do move that we bring up House Bill number one, be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. From the Senator of Andrew County, all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The aye does have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is actually House Bill number 2001. Commonly we refer to these just as the last two digits, but I will try to be formal for the record. That's 2001. It is public debt. As most of you know, we take up the budget bills in order. Public debt is always the first thing that we take up. We saw no disagreement with the House, and so that's where we're at in moving forward on public debt. Happy to take any questions. If not, Mr. President, I would renew my motion.
The Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2001. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Johnson County.
Mr. President, inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning, Senator.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for all the hard work I know that you put in.
Thank you, Senator, for in the committee. You
bet. Hours of meetings and things that we've not only had in committee, but, you know, we don't realize all the meetings that you have outside of committee meeting as well. And so most certainly, I know you put a lot of thought, energy, and effort in this budget. And it's a budget that has been very tough.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of tough decisions and difficult decisions have to be made.
And as you know, Senator, very different than what we started out in January.
That's right.
You know, basically in the last 3 weeks when we decided to come back and pass a budget, this session really condensed the time that we had to look at and really changed the complexion of what we were looking at. We were looking at some growth at that time. Now we're looking at decreases in the state budget and the need to cut funding from the governor's recommendations, which is what the House did, and we carried through as well.
I know that we didn't actually come up with a consensus revenue estimate per se, but we in the Senate were going. I forget the magical number back then in January. We were what percentage were we?
Well,
we
never agreed on a percentage.
Right.
Yeah. And so you know, there was a difference between the governor had at one point a 2.4% increase. I think that originally came down to like 1.9, and then the House had a 1.4, and the Senate was somewhere in between.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so, but again,
That's all in the past. We couldn't stay there. We needed to look at the realities of the COVID-19 crisis and the impact that it's had on our economy. I think we agreed on a number that's a good number to work towards in reducing the governor's original appropriation request, original budget, and both the House and really House and the Senate have worked towards achieving that goal. And I appreciate your help in moving forward in that fashion too.
Right. Senator. Well, thank you. I was glad to try and help do a small part in that. You know, I know, like you said, the budget that the governor recommended from last January, I mean, is not really any good as the paper that was printed on because of the COVID-19 and the downturn of the economy and the switch from the income tax deadline date from April 15th to July 15th.
And the quarterly filings, too.
Right.
You know, and they've been pushed into the next fiscal year as well, which, you know, will make the impact now difficult. And the cash flow, quite honestly, difficult right now. Push more money into the 2021 budget.
Senator, do you know, I know we didn't decide on a consensus revenue estimate, but do you know what percentage that we, and you may not know, what percentage that this version of the budget has in it as far as...
We were trying to achieve a goal of about a $700 million cut in the governor's recommendation. And that's been out there in the media. That's what we agreed to. That's what the House strove towards, and that's what the Senate has strived to get towards as well.
Right.
I think we've moved in that path, yeah.
So were we, I guess, on the bottom line, once we look at all 13 budget bills, were we able to come up with that $700 million in cuts?
Well, we were, as we looked at it, you know, there's different ways I shouldn't say that term.
Different ways to skin a cat.
Yeah, I was going to say skin, but probably we won't talk about that. of coming up with the numbers. Honestly, when we were done with it, we were $10 million more of a cut than what the House had presented to us.
Okay.
The House presented that they had cut $700 million. We're that plus $10 million more.
Okay, so yeah. The House budget that they presented to us overall did have the $700 million in cuts.
That's what
governor's recommendations.
It was a little more than but approximately that. I'm sorry, I don't have the. It may have been like 708 or 703, but in to our understanding, we are $10 million more of a cut than what the House has achieved.
Okay,
so and Senator, largely too many of your, fine amendments and efforts to do that. And I'm again, thank you for that.
Right.
For that help in that process.
Right. Well, I most certainly appreciate your assistance in locating some of those empty FTEs. You know, we went through that exercise last Friday in the Senate Appropriations Committee. I said some of the most low-lying fruit are those empty FTE positions that haven't been filled for 3 months, 6 months, even a year, 18 months.
Yeah.
And I know just in MoDOT, we were able to identify 31 empty FTEs with a cost saving to the state, about $1.4
million. Yeah.
Now, $1.4 million in the grand scheme of $30-plus billion budget is a small fraction, but it was something. And like I said, those are empty FTEs that was low-lying fruit for us.
And Senator, I would applaud you on your effort to look at that for the past couple of years that we've been on the budget committee together. You've been really digging into it. There are a lot of members in this body that are really interested in continuing that effort, and I see us continuing that effort.
Right.
I think we will continue to look at ways of reducing the number of FTE in the state government. We have one of the larger workforces on the state level in the nation, and I think there's room to continue to look at that effort. I applaud the senators that are supportive of that, and Senator, you've been the champion on that, and I applaud your effort in that fiscal accountability, that fiscal restraint. I'm certainly happy to support you on the efforts to look at those.
Well, thank you. You give me too much credit.
But there's a lot of us that want to do that.
Right. There's a lot of us that do want to do that. And like you said, yes, when you compare the number of state employees that we have per 10,000 of Missouri population, we are a lot higher than other Midwestern states. And so we need to continue to look for more increased efficiencies in our state workforce. And like I said, you know, my biggest thing is, you know, when it comes down to those tough decisions, and we have to make a lot of those difficult decisions, but when it comes down to some of those difficult decisions on whether I would rather eliminate empty FTEs where there's nobody there in that position, or cut higher education, or cut or withhold funds toward Meals on Wheels and things like that, I think the choice is very clear that I personally, and I think there's many others that would rather eliminate those empty FTEs that have been empty for months, even years, versus take a cut or reduction to our seniors and as well as children.
And we're also pushing for some transparency there too. You know,
right.
You've been a strong advocate in that aspect of this too. You know, if we're using these to supplement overtime, well, let's get to a right number and then actually see what the overtime will be. You know,
yes.
From a budgeting standpoint, just transparency. Let's, you know, sometimes we kind of don't get to see, you know, how much it really takes to run some of these places.
Right.
That have to have, you know, a fair amount of overtime because we don't really see it as a budget item. And I think we're pushing more for that transparency as well.
Right,
and you've been a strong advocate there as well, Senator.
And I agree with you on that. And I know we're not on. Usually when we talk about overtime, we talk about many times mental health and corrections.
Yep.
And when we look at Department of Mental Health and Department of Corrections, if you are a correctional officer and you're the person that's come supposed to work after you doesn't come in, then you have to serve a double shift and you paid overtime. And the same thing with Department of Mental Health. Many workers in the Department of Mental Health that work in those facilities, such as the facility at Fulton, if there's a shift change and the person that comes in for you doesn't come in, then you have to work their shift as well and pay overtime. You know, I think as far as transparency goes, I do have some concerns and frustrations in some of the departments where they say, well, we've got these empty FTEs, but we use that money to pay overtime. Okay, well, I acknowledge and I see that. I just think as far as transparency goes, it would be better to, okay, well, we're going to allocate this much money for overtime because we know that we're going to have that instead of, well, we're going to keep these empty FTE positions and we know we're going to use it for overtime and so we'll use it that way. So I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, as far as transparency goes, going forward in the future, I would like to see us budget that overtime instead of budget money for FTEs that we know are never going to be filled because that money is going to be used for overtime. So,
and I think the governor's, you know, also helping us move in that direction too. So,
right.
You know, they eliminated, the executive branch eliminated a number of FTEs before they even brought it to us, but then we were able to find some additional areas to go and like I say, get at those transparency issues. And
right.
I think we will hopefully, while you and I are still here, we'll be able to continue to move in that fashion.
Yes, yes, most certainly. Well, again, thank you, Senator. Thank you for putting together, this budget. Like I said, it's a balancing act. I know it's tough to please everyone, but most certainly, I know your heart and mine are in the right place, and you put forth the best product that you can. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd District of St. Charles County, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Good. Yes, it's good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Senator.
You know, the Senator from Andrew, you know, has a tough job, and I kind of want to, you know, when we talk about these unprecedented times, actually, they're not really all that unprecedented. And because in 2009 and 2010, We had a very similar situation in the Missouri state budget. And I was a freshman state rep back then. I know the senator from the 5th was here back then, 2009 and 2010. The senator from the 29th was here. Senator from the 13th was here. Senator from the Green, the 20th district, was here. Senator from the 10th was here. Senator from the 31st was here in 2009 and 2010. Senator from the 15th, who's not in the chamber, was here. Senator from the 24th was here. Sorry if I missed anyone back in 2009, 2010. You weren't here. All right. Senator from the 1st, not here. But we had to make a lot of tough decisions back in 2009 and 2010 when we had a downturn in the economy. There was a similar flu that was going around back then. I believe it was a swine called the swine flu.
Now we SARS, right? Yes. The SARS epidemic?
Yes. Now, we didn't react... we didn't shut down the economy like we did for the coronavirus. So, but there was definitely a downturn in the economy in 2009 and 2010. And we had to make a lot of tough decisions in the General Assembly back then, whether it was in the House Budget Committee, whether it was Governor Nixon, whether it was the Missouri State Senate. We had to come together and make those tough and difficult decisions for the state and our constituents. So we can say that, you know, when people say, well, these are unprecedented times, these times are unprecedented because we've shut down the economy, but these times aren't unprecedented when we've had to really look at the budget through a microscope and look for different ways to save the state money in a downturn of the economy. What do you think, Senator?
I think it's notable that we're about to debate a series of budget bills that will increase spending authority in the state by approximately 10% year over year at a time when our GDP nationwide has shrunk by almost 5% in the first quarter of this year, at a time when unemployment in the state is reaching records that we may not have seen ever in the state of Missouri. And yet, as far as the business of government, times are good.
Right.
And government has never been bigger. Government has never gotten more appropriated money. Government has never had so many regulations that citizens must comply with. And I can only imagine how frustrating it must be for the business owners and folks across the state who are suffering physically and economically to look to Jefferson City and see a continuation of what can't be confused with anything other than out-of-control spending. So as these bills come up, one of the things that I'm not sure all of our colleagues are aware of is that out of a state workforce of 55,000 people here in the state of Missouri, 3,500 of those positions are currently empty.
3,500?
3,500 positions are empty. And yet, we struggled to have an honest, candid conversation about, do we need to continue funding positions that we literally are not even filling. Total cost of those alone is about $250 million. And, you know, there may be some in there that are justified of why we need to keep them or for, you know, flexibility amongst the departments. But these are conversations that year after year we don't get to. And, you know, the spending in this state has increased since 2010 by more than a third. And the failures of the legislature to really put some restraint on the growth of all that spending bring us to where we are today, which is a place where we are now out of step in how we operate versus how we're expecting everybody else in the state to operate. So I understand constitutionally that we have to put a budget together, and I think that the budget chairman, the senator from Andrew, has worked very hard to make the best of a difficult situation. And I can tell you, being only my second year on budget, trying to fit a $30+ billion budget into 1 week of effort is incredibly difficult. And I think that the senator from Andrew would concur with that. But really, this is the culmination of not just this year's budget. This is the culmination of decades of how we budget in this state.
Right.
So those are just some of my thoughts.
No, and I know you and some others have identified, you know, some of those positions throughout the budget, and I know that others would like to talk about those as well as those budget bills, you know, come through. I think that's a very valid discussion that we need to have. You know, when I look at this budget, and like I said, it reminds me a lot of 2009 and 2010. But I think, you know, back then I used to say, do the right thing even when it's not the easiest thing to do. And my constituents elected me, just like they elected you. They elected Senator from Andrew. They elected all of us in here to make those difficult, tough decisions during this downturn in the economy. I believe it's my responsibility to look for ways to balance, quote, balance the budget and look for ways to save the state money. And I can't, in good conscience, leave all the tough decision-making and all the cuts for the governor to have to do. Right. And most certainly in 2009 and 2010, while I was a freshman and in the Missouri State House, you know, learned a lot of things, and it was like drinking from a fire hose. But you know, overall, this budget and looking for efficiencies and ways to cut spending by the state of Missouri, I don't view this as a partisan issue. I just view it as an issue for both Republicans and Democrats of what we were elected to do here in the Missouri State Senate and the General Assembly. And I don't want to put, like I said, I don't want to put all the weight on the governor's shoulders. I don't think it's not our responsibility as the General Assembly. Well, we're going to pass something. We're not going to make any of those difficult, tough decisions, and we'll just let the governor make those tough decisions as far as withholds and cuts. So, I think as we look through, you know, the budget, there's going to be some things that we agree with. There's going to be some things that we don't. Obviously, whatever passes out today, we'll third read and go to conference with the House. And, you know, I think that there's going to be some continuation of good, honest discussion and ways to look for more efficiencies as we go through that process. So I appreciate you accepting my inquiry, Senator, and thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, Senator.
The motion before the body for the benefit of the body is the third read motion for the House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2001. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Callaway County.
Thank you, Mr. President. To speak with the senator from Andrew. You've changed Dallas County names now. I can't remember.
Senator from Andrew County, do you yield to your colleague from Callaway?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Yeah, Senator, I've got a lot of counties you could choose from up there. So Andrew's one of the finer ones, and it's where I actually live, so that's good. Andrew is where I actually live, but there are a lot of counties that I represent that could pick any of the 15. So.
Right. Well, I just wanted to talk to you about the here we go again. The conversation about FTEs,
yes. Uh-huh.
Mental health and corrections, and
right.
I thought I had made that clear earlier, and I appreciate that we aren't going after those empty FTEs, and yes, if they don't manage to fill the position, they will use it for overtime, as was explained from the...
And we still allow
Johnson.
That.
But here's the other part of that equation is because these jobs are so dangerous, especially in the forensic state mental hospital, because they have a double whammy there. They have committed very heinous crimes,
sure.
And they have been put there often to get them ready to stand trial with therapy and other issues. But if they could fill the FTEs, they would. They cannot always fill them. And therein lies a huge problem. They
sure.
need staffing, but when it is so dangerous to work there, people, that's not their first choice, whether it's nurses or whether it's psychologists. And that was why we have been trying to pass this bill. When someone in the mental hospital decides that they don't want to stand trial, they would rather stay in a quote-unquote hospital setting than a prison setting, then they go after the psychologist licenses.
Yeah.
There's another bill that didn't make it through the process so far. I hope it does, in order to help them. But these empty FTEs, we need to fill. We cannot always do it.
And we didn't touch many of those FTEs, as the senator just said. We did not touch the FTEs in corrections and mental health for that reason. Exactly. And I think you know that if we could ever get to the point where they actually put an overtime line in to address some of the necessary overtime. And left enough empty or enough FTEs so they could actually fill the positions. You know, I think that would be our ultimate goal. But this is where we're at right now, and that was taken into consideration as we looked.
Well, I just meant future reference.
You bet.
You know, they need to be filled. They cannot always fill them.
Right.
And so it is a way not to affect the GR. If and when, as the senator from Johnson explained, that they can't leave. If the next shift person doesn't come in, they have to stay.
Yeah.
And so it may not be the most optimum situation, but it is, I think, the better way to deal with the problem of not being able to get enough people in those positions.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator. Yeah, I fully understand. I comprehend your problem, your difficulty there. You know, we have a state hospital or a psychiatric center is what they call them now in St. Joseph as well. It used to be called number two. It used to be the state hospital number two. Now it's Northwest Psychiatric Center. It's actually in the center from the 34th district, but it is real close there in Northwest Missouri.
I just wanted to make sure this wasn't a ploy or a game to with the overtime. It's not. We need them filled.
Right.
They can't fill them, but it is a way to not affect the GR as badly with that.
I think we're being attentive to those needs as well,
okay.
Senator.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the third read motion, the senator from the 20th District.
Speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Mr. President, this is the 10th year that I've had an opportunity to vote on the budget, and this is, I think, there have been times when I voted no on some items in the budget, but I'm afraid to say that this is the first time I will not be voting for this budget. I would probably vote on the first bill or to pay our debts, but I want to explain why. I'm not the optimist that the gentleman from the senator from Andrew is. I experienced in 2009 a horrific first year in office. We made unprecedented cuts, and at that time the economy was nothing like what we're experiencing today, nothing close to what we're experiencing. And I think that to be optimistic is being unaware of the reality or the math that's going on in this state. I, on a daily basis, receive phone calls from small business owners that are scared, they're terrified that they might lose the business that not only they started but has been in their family for generations. I have text messages from friends and family who are unemployed. And yes, they're getting some relief from the federal government, but that is not going to last. These loans that businesses are having to acquire means that future payment and growth will be sucked up from this economy. Now, before COVID, the signs were here. We're already here that the economy was going to hit a recession this year. In fact, we received reports as a caucus from institutions that we would be experiencing and should prepare for an economic recession. We already saw an inverted yield curve. You have the experience of the baby boomer generation that's retiring, which means they'll be pulling their money out of their investments. And so, yes, it was already baked into the cookie that we were going to experience an economic recession. So that's outside of COVID. The impact of this is going to be unprecedented. Just yesterday, major brands, and I don't mean major brands, the company here in Missouri, I mean major institutions like J. Crew, Gold's Gym, are the first companies to announce that they're going into bankruptcy. And we're already hearing about more to come. And so with that, Mr. President, I think that what will inevitably happen is that we will see with this budget that we will be placing a great burden on our governor to have to make these difficult decisions that I think that we, under the Constitution, is our responsibility to make. And with that, I will not be supporting the House bills outside of the first one. Thank you.
Further discussion on the third read motion for House Bill 2001. Hearing none, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion and close.
The Senator from Andrew County has renewed his motion that the House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2001 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2001, an act to appropriate money to the Board of Fund Commissioners for the cost of issuing and processing state water pollution control bonds, storm water control bonds, and fourth state building bonds as provided by law. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from the second, votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye and 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on that same calendar, I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Andrew for a motion on House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2002 with the Senate Committee substitute.
Staying on that same calendar, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized for the motions needed for House Bill 2002.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2002 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is before the body, and for the benefit of the body, this will require a roll call vote on the adoption of the Senate substitute and then a roll call vote on the actual bill itself. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, now we move into the operating budgets for the state of Missouri. There's a few things I'd like to talk in general as we've gone through the budgets, and then we'll get more specific as we get into the House Bill number 2002, which is Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. In general,
Senator, would you move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute?
Well, I thought I did, but I will do that as well. I will move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 2002.
I apologize if the chair missed that. Thank you, Senator. Please proceed with your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, again, we're moving into the operational budgets. Really working with the House and the governor's office. The governor's office came with an unprecedented number, I think something like 60 different governor's amendments that they presented to the House and the Senate as we moved along, which is unprecedented because of the changes in the economy and changes where we're at, all the COVID-19 dollars, the CARES Act money, the GEARS Act money, coming in. So we had a number of opportunities to work with the governor's office in doing that. So we'll see a lot of that go through there. You saw a lot of these dollars in the supplemental budget. You will see those also translate into the fiscal year 21 budget as we move forward. In general, you know, and where the House went and working with us, the pay plan that we had originally hoped that we would be able to do is no longer in the budget for any of the departments, anywhere across the gamut. Those pay plans all went away, so we're basically static in that regards. Most of the new decision items that we were hoping to use when we thought we were having an increase in the budget, as we talked earlier, most of those new decision items have been removed. Some of the what you would call mandatory items, you know, where Medicaid costs continue to go up, some of those issues like that we are funding. But and again, you know, those we need to maintain our funding in those categories with the CARES Act money as well. You know, that's kind of a precondition of accepting those dollars in as well. So in general, that's kind of across all the budgets as we go forward. You know, the pay plan is not there. You know, really, we did reduce a number of the FTE in various departments. The departments came in with the reduced FTE. We also identified some additional FTE, and I think the House had some additional FTE. So continue on that path, and appreciate the efforts there.
Any other broad?
I think that for the most part, those are some of the broad areas. Certainly we'd be able to discuss those as we go forward. In House Bill 2002, Elementary and Secondary Education, just a few of the high points. I think many of you have the sheets in front of you as to what we have in there. There are $2 billion worth of authority for additional federal stimulus dollars should they come in. That would be like if there's a passage of a CARES Act 4.0. That would give us authority to utilize those dollars. That was a governor's amendment. The foundation formula was fully funded by the House, and the Senate concurred with that. Looked at the transportation categorical. We did a funds shift, used some of this what they call GEARS money. It was a governor's education fund. It was part of the federal stimulus that came down. The House didn't allocate that out. We decided to allocate that out and allowed us to have some general revenue dollars for other needs that the Senate thought that we needed to move forward on. Added money for early childhood education. Moving forward, that was kind of a court mandated aspect that we had to move on. A few other voc rehab. Did some fund switching here and there to try to free up general revenue just along the path. You can see much of that as we go through it. Virtual education, you know, with adult learning rehab facilities kind of move along. There was some federal dollars. We tried to identify the federal dollars there. Much of those federal dollars are CARES Act money that's translating through into the fiscal year 21 budget. With that, Mr. President, I'd be happy to take any questions and happy to visit with any of the senators. Oh, and Mr. President, I do have an amendment.
Senator from Andrew, please.
It has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your amendment forward. Would you care to move for the adoption of the amendment?
I do. I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of technical corrections as hope many of you can understand, we quickly went through this process. We hurried through. In the process, we found some things that we needed to make some corrections to and get in the right place. One was an early literacy program that the senator from Clay was interested in having in there. We had put that in another department's budget. It more closely fits in this department budget. So that's the technical change that we had going forth there. And then another one was just a placeholder that we wanted to have in there that we just honestly just missed in the quick process as we were going through. And it just leaves us the ability. Yeah, it's $1 and it just it kind of holds a place so that we can come back when we have more money to look at that. You'll see that a few other places. You know, some programs that I think many of us would like, but understand that the situation we're under right now, we'd like to maybe continue to discuss those programs, but fully understand the need to make some cuts this year. So with that, Mr. President, I'd take any questions on this amendment. None appearing. I would be happy to close.
The senator from Andrew County has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 for the Senate Committee Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2002. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Shelby.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
Certainly do.
He does. Proceed.
Well, I'm always happy to take questions from my fellow northern Missouri senator.
All the best people live north of I-70.
You bet.
So thank you for taking my inquiry. Looking at this, it's kind of hard to even comprehend all of it. I'm sure you understand that. So
you're talking about the amendment that we're on?
No, or I'm talking about the whole...
Oh, the whole budget. Okay.
Yeah. So the question that I had, I know that some of the money that comes through DESE goes to fund participants in workshops, sheltered workshops.
Yes, and that's more in the voc rehab area, I believe, and area, the sheltered workshop. Actually, voc rehab's a little different program, but the shelter workshops are in here. Yeah.
So can you tell me if they are getting about the same amount of money or more money than they had last year?
I think they're getting about the same amount of money. So that's what we did a lot to. I mean, we weren't able to increase a lot of these budgets. That would be what we call the new decision items, the NDIs. I think, you know, whether the governor proposed them or we were looking at them. Many of the entities we were able to maintain at the level we were and didn't make any cuts to them, but neither were we able to make any increases to their budgets.
Okay, so overall, is the total budget about the same as it was last year for the department?
We're actually trying to cut about $700 million from what the governor's recommendations are.
No, I mean just
now,
for this...
as a whole, with all the CARES Act money coming in, all the federal stimulus money, and a lot of the money from this year kind of be pushing into the fiscal year 21 budget by the delayed filing of you know, state and federal income tax. Also, the quarterly filings have been pushed into the next year's budget as well. That would probably inflate it a little bit, make it look like it's more money in 21 than what I would say we really have, because we'll be doing, you know, basically with that, we're continuing on with some of the fiscal year 20 expenses, and trying to utilize $21 to get us through to do that. You'll see that coming down the path, when the House passed theirs, their budget, you know, our budget last year was about a $30 billion budget, and I think when the House passed it, it was around a $34 billion budget. So that's a lot of the federal dollars coming in is what makes a difference there.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about education.
Uh-huh. You'll see that translated through in education too, especially like I say, the $2 billion federal authority. Should we get another stimulus package that comes?
Okay,
in.
So when I look on the sheet here for them, I'm seeing, you know, that you're planning for $2 billion of federal money. So that's just replacing what we would have had otherwise.
That's really just again, you know, there's some anticipation of another stimulus package coming down. That's a placeholder the governor wanted to have in there to be able to receive that dollars in to be used for education.
Okay, and also there was a $208 million for the emergency relief fund. That's federal.
Yeah, that'd be federal dollars
money.
As well. Yeah.
Do we know how that's planned to be spent at all, or no?
Those would be distributed to the school districts is how they plan on utilizing those dollars.
On what basis? Just students or number of students or how? Do we know?
Let me get...
Okay, thank you, Senator. The clarification on that is it's not designated or it's not clarified in the language, but the assumption would be that it would be most likely run through the formula.
So one of the points I wanted to make was, you know, most of the schools, well, we haven't been in school forever, it seems like, hasn't been forever. Do we know if there's going to be summer school?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard that decision yet. Certainly in your position as chairman of the Education Committee, I would...
Well, I'm the last one to know.
Yeah, well, I would hope that...
I was the last one to know that we were canceling.
I would be one of the first ones to know.
Well, I think we've got that worked out. But,
yeah, well, the department needs to correct that situation. They need to be engaging with you, Senator.
Just one of the points I wanted to make was, especially if... concerns the workshops. They're very important. A lot of them had to quit operating, so they're already...
And they're flat. They're at the same level as they were last year.
Well, I think they're going to need additional money, so that's just a point I want to make, and I guess we can work that out with the department.
There may be some ability, some flex there that they could look at. You know, certainly you could
work
with them in that regard.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from Clay?
Senator from Clay, yield. She does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I know Senator from Andrew mentioned that this was moving something that you had an interest in, and I was trying to glance through it quickly, and I wondered if you could just explain to me kind of what is going to be funded with that $350,000.
Sure. So, I know there is a lot of support among senators for early literacy, especially we all know how important it is that students are reading on grade level, especially by third grade.
Sure.
So this is really targeted at, I know the senator from Shelby and you have been, and I have been working on legislation, especially involving reading intervention and support, and this would add funding for programs that help make sure that kids are reading on grade level. I think this is an especially important proposal at this time because students' schools have been disrupted. They'll return to class hopefully in the fall, but they may have fallen behind, and we want to make sure that they're reading on grade level so that they have success in all areas.
And it's... it's specified to an LEA. Is there a particular LEA? I mean, it's not a lot of money. So is there a particular LEA that goes to, or how's that actually going to be spent? Do you have a sense of that?
It would be a new RFP. So any...
An RFP.
So it would be,
So they would have to be requested.
Yes.
And specified in the RFP how they were going to spend it. So
that's correct.
Basically it's just a bucket right now that says if you're interested in doing this, there is some funding available.
And
tell us what you're going to do.
There are a number of organizations that really target going into the classroom and supporting struggling readers. And
okay.
So, they would be able to be eligible.
It almost looks like a pilot with no more money than that. So.
Well, I wish we could spend more, but obviously
well,
these are
this
difficult
is not a good
times,
year to
right?
be going
yeah.
outside. Now, did you have anything to do with the character education part? Was that part of yours or was that not?
That is not mine.
Segment. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Senator. Thank you.
President.
Senator from Barton.
May I inquire of the Senator from Andrew?
Does the Senator from Grundy yield? To the inquiry from the Senator from Barton?
I do.
He does proceed.
Good
Thanks,
morning,
Senator.
Senator.
On your amendment.
Yes.
I'm on down on the character education part.
Uh-huh.
The character initiatives. Can you, and
you
just a placeholder is all you have there?
Yeah, that basically just I think it would be it helps keep it in the budget. It helps us look at that again.
But you know, have we had that in the budget in years past? A character initiative?
I don't think we had it last year.
Okay.
We have had it in the past.
Okay.
Was it in last year? Oh, it was in the last year's.
All right.
Okay.
Did we have any
we
money
have
in
had it?
It
in the past, and we're able to fund it then, but this is one of the areas that they, was
we're looked at. We're holding the spot, but we don't have any money there now. Is that right? Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Yeah, I think it's a worthy program to continue to look at.
Yep.
Like I said earlier on, there'll be a number of places where you will see programs that, under the circumstances,
I'd love to
we
know
needed
more
to make
about
some cuts, and you know,
I'd love to know more about exactly what they want to do with it. But I thought we had seen that in the past, but we're just no money right now. And so I appreciate you taking my inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion, Senate Amendment Number 1? Hearing none. Senator from Atchison, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Holt has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We are back on the adoption motion on the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from the very first.
From Andrew, please.
Senator from Andrew, yield. He does proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Good morning,
Thank you, Senator. Good morning. I am not going to belabor this, and I'm certainly not going to do this on every budget bill, but this is the K-12 bill. This is arguably the most important after not defaulting on our debt. There's a reason we put these things in the order that we do, and I do want to take a few minutes to make sure that I understand what we're doing here. And I'll first make the observation that collectively as a body, we're probably going to spend the better part of today on the budget. There are probably multiple days, Senator, where you personally spend more time on the budget yourself in a given day than we will as a collective today. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong about that.
It takes some time to put a budget together.
I would imagine so. So, and I, you know, for the members of the Appropriations Committee, they have had the chance to familiarize themselves with most or all of what's in front of us. For those of us that are not, today is the day that we get. So I want to start with the biggest number, and I am working from your summary here for ease of reference. I find the budget bills themselves are it's faster to work from the summaries. So
sure.
Am I correct in suggesting, I mean, you've got two line items here, the $2 billion in federal stimulus and the $208 million in federal emergency relief, and there are some other chunks, but those are the two biggest. I mean, this is, you know, basically $2.25 billion on the if come, correct? The CARES Act, am I mistaken, has the CARES Act already authorized any of that for FY21?
The $2 billion federal stimulus is authority. Yeah, should it come down.
Well, but that's my point. Has the CARES Act passed in Washington already authorized at the federal level the appropriation of that $2 billion to the state
no.
of Missouri, or are we simply anticipating that there will be additional stimulus that will provide it?
That would be anticipating additional stimulus.
Understood.
That may be provided.
Right.
So we really don't allocate that anywhere because it...
Sure.
It may or may not be there, but if we get it, there would be authority to utilize those funds should they come in.
Sure.
And again, you know, look to disseminate them probably on a formulaic basis.
Sure. And which is to say, obviously, we need to have the authorization and the budget in the event that it happens. You can't spend what hasn't been appropriated. On the other hand, as careful policymakers, we also have to be prepared for the scenario in which, over Mitch McConnell's dead body, none of that happens, correct? I mean, I say
right.
that, but there is talk from some in Washington that we did the CARES Act, we're not going to do a whole lot more, and time will tell whether that proves to be the case. We won't know that today. We won't know that by next Friday,
right.
probably.
Yeah. And we don't know that. So that is, like I say, it's authority that may or may not be utilized. Allowing for it, that way we wouldn't have to be called into a special session to deal with that should that come down. We're kind of addressing that. If it doesn't, we didn't allocate it to anything. We didn't, you know,
yeah,
put it in this budget and take something out. Not with that dollars. We didn't utilize it
and,
that way.
And I think I might have just quoted the wrong United States Senator. It was not Mitch McConnell of Kentucky talking about additional stimulus. I think I was quoting Lindsey Graham of South Carolina on employment benefit extensions. But the point is,
yeah.
there are voices that are suggesting that we ought not do more. And I think there are probably folks on both sides of the aisle who would say that that's an important question to be considered that we should not approach lightly, whether it's additional stimulus or no additional stimulus.
Yeah. This allows us to be the authority to be able to utilize those dollars
right.
should they come in. Governor's amendment.
Right. So if it doesn't come in, I just want to make sure I understand where we will find ourselves. As I look at the summary that you've provided, counting all general revenue, state GR, federal, and other dollars, in the FY 2020 budget, the K-12 budget altogether was a little bit more than $6.25 billion, $6.273 billion, as I see it. Do I have that correct? The 20 total K-12 budget was $6.273 billion, correct?
Yeah, and then the 21 budget is the $8.5
right.
billion dollar budget. That does have everything underneath that rolled up into those categories. So it does have that $2 billion in the federal line.
Right, and so if that money doesn't actually come in, where that will leave us is in approximately the same place as where our FY20 budget is, maybe even a little bit better than our a little bit more appropriated than we did in FY20. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Which is to say, if there's no additional stimulus, this K-12 bill in 21 is going to appropriate about like we did in 20, correct?
Yeah, and that's what we're doing in many of the departments throughout the whole budget. You'll see that we're basically marking time. We're, you know, some of the new decision items that we had hoped to make some advances here and there, because of the unknowns of the economic impact, those are areas that we had to pull back from.
And for that
but you know, at least we were able to. And this was the House that did this and sent it over to us. At least we're able to hold them harmless in this fiscal year 21 budget.
And obviously, if we find ourselves to be in a position to hold anybody harmless, K-12 is likely to be at the top of our list.
Well, it's a win,
yep.
In my mind.
Understood.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the reality might be that it's not a win that ultimately is possible. We don't know that stating here today.
So, well, I think to a large extent we would hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yep. Under the information we have today, we don't know. Yeah.
And one of my personal catchphrases is, as wonderful as hope is not a strategy, right? I mean, and the reality is we don't have control over what's going to happen. We like to think that we have control over some of this, but the economic forces in play right now in our country, and the senator from Green was talking about it when he was talking about House Bill 1, the reality is this is much larger than all of us. This is much larger than the state of Missouri. And what ultimately happens with this budget, and the governor's going to have to deal with a lot of it, is just going to be a product of forces in Washington and nationally that are quite beyond our purview in this chamber, as much as we would like to think otherwise. So for that reason, I want to focus on what we're doing with GR dollars in the K-12 budget for just a minute. Now, as I see it, there are about a half dozen, maybe more, budget increases in GR dollars in here. It looks like a little less than $12 million for early childhood special education increase.
Yes.
It looks like we've got about a million for public school improvement, a half million for virtual education, $200,000 for Teach for America, $200,000 for the Missouri Council on Economic Education, and $100,000 for the hearing aid distribution program. Do I have all that correct?
Yes.
Those are new. Those are line item increases that we are making in GR dollars.
Like I said, there were a few new decision items, line item increases that we are, you know, moving forward with. You know, both in the House and the Senate. Some of them are just maybe Senate positions as well.
Got it. And on the other side of the equation is what are the GR reductions in this? And the first one looks like a single dollar reduction in the school broadband transfer authority. And I don't mean to make this a pop quiz. You know this document better than anybody else in this chamber. However, if I'd be catching you cold on why we're doing a $1 reduction for the broadband transfer authority, I would understand if that's one you're not able to answer off the top of your head. And I'd be duly impressed if you were. But why do we have a $1 GR reduction on that line item?
That transfer authority is no longer needed. If you recall, this was one of former Governor Greitens' initiatives to get broadband to the last of those school districts that didn't have broadband access, and I think we're practically there.
Well, that's good.
And so that program That effort doesn't need to be funded anymore.
Understood. That is good because our districts need that technology now more than ever with everything we've seen just this spring in 2 months.
Sure.
All right. So there are some other general revenue reductions in the K-12 budget. The six-figure ones include an early childhood reduction, and I noticed that there was an early childhood special education increase, but a $200,000 reduction for the early learning quality assurance report. I'm going to assume that plays like a slightly smaller increase to early childhood programs with just a reallocation of what we're doing on a single line item. Is that
you'll see
a fair
that you'll see that in many areas where we felt like we were able to and had the resources on the federal line that we utilize that to free up general revenue dollars that we could then use in other places.
Got
so
it.
The dollar amount, many of those programs stayed the same. We just it basically is fund
right.
switch. You're
well,
you're, rec- you're getting the, you're seeing the other side of a fund switch.
Yeah, it's a GR fund switch in essence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, while there's one line item in early childhood that's out $200,000, in the aggregate, early childhood is going to be up $11 million.
$11 million, that's correct.
Yeah. Yep. All right. And then the Charter School Commission, I don't need to go into that. The Missouri Scholars and Fine Arts Academy, I'm familiar with that program. It is what it is, obviously.
It does leave $1 in that program. Again, as I mentioned earlier, a placeholder. Some of these things we'd love to continue to do.
Yeah.
It's
that's
tough this year.
That's a program that's been in this place before.
We have to make some cuts somewhere.
Yeah. This is, and don't get me wrong, I actually personally know people that benefited from that way back in the day and who have written me about that very program. The reality is this is not the first time that program has found itself in about this position.
No.
All right. So, and then reduction for GEDs. Is that what I'm seeing at the top of the next page? $400,000?
Yeah, that's the high school equivalency examination.
Right.
I think it was in the budget 1 year. That was an area that we decided to free up some general revenue dollars.
And is the assumption that local districts are going to pick up the tab or carry the tab for that?
That would be that could be an assumption.
Yeah, or have been carrying the tab.
You know, this is the ability that these are some of the changes we need to make to be able to fully fund the formula and do some of the other things that we feel. Like
I understand. I understand. And then there's another early childhood program again in the aggregate. Factoring in the $875,000 reduction to the preschool program, still early childhood is going to come up more than $10 million to the good. All right. Well, and then there's a reduction. I'm going to skip and come back to first steps, but there's a $6.5 million reduction for early childhood for the ECE education grant, and that's federal dollars. And I know I said I was going to stick to GR, but that seems like a rather large federal reduction, and I guess the question then would be, are we talking about a federal to GR fund switch in early childhood that now would put ECE up maybe $3.5 million instead of the closer to $12 million?
Yeah, and that item you're looking at there, the $6.5 million, that was a one-time federal grant that played out, you know.
Right.
And you'll see that, you know, through these when a federal grant we remove once a federal grant, or I guess it could be a state grant, you know, comes off, then that, you know, our program completes itself. You'll see that as a reduction in the budget, and then actually on this line, I think there was a new federal grant that, as you said, increased the amount of money going to that particular
Understood.
Effort.
Understood. All right, and then so that leaves two items, and again, I don't want to belabor this, but these are not trivial line items, even though some of the numbers are larger than others. The $1.5 million reduction for First Steps. Forgive me. Again, I hate to turn this into a pop quiz of the appropriations chair on the Senate floor. However, what is the remaining aggregate appropriation to First Steps? Is $1.5 million cleaving the heart out of the program, or is it carving a rounding error off of the total budget for First Steps?
Yeah, I think you're... We'll get those numbers.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. I apologize. My markup sheets on those two but a couple departments did not make it to my office.
Yeah, so. Do you have a sense as to whether this is a deep reduction in
personnel? No, I think there's still a lot of money in that category.
Got it. All right. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I know we've got appropriations staff up here who are...
I would not call it a deep
Understood.
Cut in that
and
program.
I'm sorry to turn this into a fire drill for approach staff. I appreciate their efforts and yours as well.
Yep.
All right. So a cut to First Steps, but not a deep cut, as I understand it, and I'll confirm that in a moment. And then lastly, could you explain to me what we're doing with the GR cut on transportation? It's labeled as a fund
switch. Yeah, that's a fund switch, too. It's utilizing some of the federal dollars. I believe that actually is the GEARS money. That we put into that category. So it's money that we feel pretty confident that we're going to have
Got
in
it.
Our pocket. And again, to free up some general revenue dollars that we could use elsewhere and to try
which is to say for
hold harmless some other areas that I think are very important to many of us in this body.
Which is to say for FY21, the federal government's going to be funding school transportation.
You know, it's an unusual year. So we are, normally it's not a good budget practice to use one-time dollars on ongoing expenses. This is a year that we felt like it's just an unusual year, Senator.
No, absolutely. You know, without question. That's part of the reason
an ideal budget. We're trying to put it together pretty quick. Trying to address the problems that the senator from Greene County arose. You know, at the impact is going to be great. We don't know how great. I think we're making a substantial effort to try to address that concern while trying to look at ways of keeping some of our institutions as held harmless as possible.
Well, and I think he's absolutely right. We absolutely already were looking at a structural recession in the near future, even without this force majeure that we're dealing with. And the only question, frankly, is not going to be whether everything is sideways. The question is for how badly and for how long. And you have the burden of having to try to craft a budget amidst all of this. And I don't envy you that task, but I do appreciate your answers to my questions, Senator. And it looks like you might have your finger on the First Steps line item, if I had to guess.
The First Steps line that with the House recommendation is $60,312,000.
So 1.5 million
very
against that.
Very robustly funded program.
In an ideal world, we wouldn't have to do it, but in the grand scheme of things, it could be a $60 million cut instead.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. The adoption of the Senate committee substitute, Senator from the 2nd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry, and thank you for all your hard work on
this. Good afternoon, sir.
This afternoon, 12:05. No, thank you for all your hard work on this budget. I know some very long hours, and do you get hazard pay because you braved the COVID-19 pandemic in order to do this work?
I get compensated by the state of Missouri to do a job that I actually ran for and campaigned for.
You did.
So I did.
Very good.
So I'm happy to serve the public.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you for your service overall and on this budget. I wanted to speak briefly with you on... on page 6, section 2.070.
Of the actual budget.
Of the actual budget.
Okay.
2.070 found on page 6.
Virtual schools. Okay.
So, virtual schools. And then if we go to the budget book, it breaks down. So we have a total of $700,000 from the general revenue in the actual budget, $389,778, which comes to $10,089,778. And if we go to the budget bill, we learn that of that $1 million and some change, $500,000 of that is for the Springfield School District's launch program.
That is correct.
And I wonder, as you know, as the author of Senate Bill 603, which we passed in 2008, you know, our statutes provide for a mechanism by which virtual schools, whether they be one course at a time or full-time virtual, are funded. And that is that the school district or the charter school pay the provider, which could be another school district, another charter school, could be a private provider, pay an amount up to, which they could negotiate, it could be a lower amount, but up to 14% of the state adequacy target per course, up to 100% of the state adequacy target amount. So there's a mechanism to fund virtual schools. So I'm wondering why Springfield Launch Program is singled out for a special line item of $500,000.
That answer I probably can't give to you, Senator. It was a part of the original governor's budget proposal.
It was. And, of course, the House position was that they took that $500,000 out.
Right.
And I would, and I can't speak for the thinking of the House budgeteers, but I would imagine they took it out because it didn't, well, first of all, because we have tough economic times, but secondly, because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
Because a number of different, really any school district can, and many do, provide virtual school programs.
Right, yeah.
Either one.
Many of them did through this whole stay-at-home.
You know, either, like, yeah, either a court. Well, oh, yeah, and that's a separate issue. You know, a lot of schools are providing at-home education apart from the virtual school or MOCAP program.
Right.
But here when we're talking about Springfield's launch program, we're talking about full-time virtual education or a course at a time virtual education through the MOCAP program. So at least I could list a few of the public school districts that provide online courses. Mm-hmm. Lee Summit, North Kansas City, Grandview R3, St. Louis Clayton, and there are undoubtedly others throughout the state. And you know, none of those get a separate appropriation to do a particular program. Now, if you read the fine print on the budget book, and it's small print, but it says, you know, for the JAG program, which is an employment-based program dedicated to helping at-risk youth stay in school and make successful transitions to post-secondary education, which seems to be a kind of either remedial or perhaps career and tech ed kind of program, but a number of different virtual education providers offer career tech ed or offer remedial education. So I don't see why Springfield and Launch should be given their own line item in this budget.
To my understanding, I've got some enlightenment, you know, again on this, that this would allow that Springfield launch program to expand not only for the Springfield area, but this would allow them to go statewide with that virtual effort.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of virtual, that any program,
you
know, any school district, I mean, maybe they're only offering one course, maybe,
right,
you know, Mandarin Chinese or calculus or AP chemistry can expand and offer statewide. You know, there's been quite a bit of concern that Launch is essentially that it's getting preferential treatment by some of the school districts.
But if
a given school district prefers their students go to Launch as opposed to other programs, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
But as long as it's in the best educational interest of the students. But
yeah,
to actually single out Launch for a Launch in Springfield for a separate $500,000 appropriation, that seems inappropriate. So
it would be a conferenceable position, Senator.
It would be something we'd have to discuss
at the conference level. So
yeah, no, I well, it can be. I have an amendment drafted to take. We earlier you spoke with the senator, I believe, from the first about rural broadband.
Yeah.
And, you know, last week at the State Board of Education meeting, there was a lot of discussion about online education, not surprisingly, in these times. And a lot of the discussion centered around what was called the digital divide. Mostly they meant these areas in the...
And as you know, Senator, I have been a strong advocate for...
I know you have.
...bringing broadband all across the state.
You've been
in particular, our rural areas where we have the distance and density problems. You have to run a lot of wire to get to a few people.
Yes, and it's very expensive.
It is.
So I had the idea, rather than this carve-out for launch, which to me doesn't make much sense because our statutes already provide a mechanism to fund virtual education, I think that $500,000 would be better spent on rural broadband. So I'm going to inquire of some of the other senators about their thoughts on that matter, and I'll probably get back to you a little bit later.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from the 20th.
Senator from the 20th, do you yield to an inquiry? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry. Good afternoon. Senator, you and I have discussed this program before. It's from your region. The Springfield School District is probably partly the senator from Greens and partly your district. Is that right?
A little bit.
Because
I've got citizens that live outside of the city that are in that school district.
Right. Okay.
In fact, I'm one of those.
You are one of those. Okay, I got you. And are you familiar with this? Launch program that the Springfield School District.
We've become familiar with it after the stay-at-home order.
After this, are you using it? Are your family using it now?
Yeah, they're using virtual education at this time.
But
they're not enrolled virtually.
It's probably right. It's probably not through the MOCAP program and full-time virtual. Because that's different, because many schools, public, private, charter alike, have gone to online education now, and which varies pretty dramatically in quality. I mean, in many cases, it's just teachers emailing worksheets to students, all the way up to the students doing, or the teachers.
Right.
having Skype or Zoom. Classes online and so on. Some are testing, some are not. Some are going to pass fail and so on. The approaches are very different. What's different about the programs set up and funded under the MOCAP program is that they tend to be much more comprehensive. They were designed from the very beginning to be virtual, to be online, as opposed to this sort of ad hoc. Scrambling that we all have had to do with the COVID epidemic.
It's been interesting to watch. It's been a scramble as schools and understandably they've had to figure out quickly how to adapt to this. And the students are as well. I'm shocked. It's not surprising, but when you look at the day of a child, it's kind of interesting when you break it down how many hours they're actually spending focused on curriculum, and it's surprisingly a lot less than you would think. And I say that because my kids that are doing their online curriculum, and they will get it done pretty quick.
Right.
And they will, what we call check the box. It's like, have you checked all the boxes today? Have you done all your must-dos?
Right.
And it's remarkable how quickly they'll get through it and be ready to
do something. Do you feel
else?
Like they're doing their work?
I'm a very attentive parent, and I feel like it makes me wonder if this is the same level of activity that they are getting.
Right.
This is a very tangent conversation. I'm probably taking us on a rabbit trail here, but
sure.
I don't know if this is where you wanted to go, but. I'm having these thoughts at this time that if this is the level, I'm not really pleased with the level, if that makes sense. And so I actually this week gave my daughters extra credit, extra work.
Extra homework.
Because I don't feel real pleased with the amount that they're doing of the expectations. And so they've been given extra reading assignments and projects that And my incentive for them is financial. So I'll say, you know, if you every hour you play the piano, practice the piano, or every hour you do this, it's a, you know, I'm basically paying, incentivizing them to do those things. So
right, okay, no, yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I would say that you're, you know, right now your children's, you know, teachers are probably sending assignments and so on. This is
right.
This is probably not through any
of
the virtual virtual programs. And I think that's something we do see, that many parents right now every school age parent right now is seeing their child, you know, doing online education to a certain degree. But that's very different than the online virtual school providers who, that is how
yeah,
they set
they
up
do.
Education.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Well, good. No, thank you. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. And yeah, so you're not particularly familiar with this launch program?
Not firsthand seen, have my children are not on the launch program.
You're not on it, yeah.
Right.
They're not on it.
Now,
yeah,
I'm familiar
no,
with it anecdotally from speaking with the school district and hearing about it. As you said, it's correct that other school districts are starting their own virtual schools.
Offer
as well.
Online programs. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why it seemed to me very unusual that one particular virtual school program, any school district in this state, can develop an online virtual school program. They could do it for one or two or 10 courses, or
right.
They could develop a full-time virtual school program. They could do it all on their own, or they can collaborate with a third-party provider to do it. And those programs exist. Grandview School District, for instance, in Jefferson County, has been doing summer school virtual for over a decade. So, you live in the district, but not in the city, or the city, but not in the district.
I don't live in the city, but I live in the school district.
But you live in the school district, okay.
As does the senator from Green, I believe as well.
Okay, well, I'll inquire with the senator from Green, see what he can tell us further about launch. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the second.
To inquire of the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Well, thank you you as well for all your hard work on this budget. Many, many long hours of often thankless work, but so thank you.
Appreciate that.
This particular $500,000 for launch in the Springfield School District. Do you know any more about this particular
sure.
line
and
item?
I've actually, Senator, I've actually spoken on the floor about this program in the past where we've talked about education and talked about...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Mr. President.
If we could keep our conversations to a minimum or take them to the side gallery so the senators can hear each other in their debate. Senators, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
I was just saying that I have actually spoken about this program on the Senate floor at various times whenever we've had education debates in this chamber. So this is a virtual education program that is utilized by over 260 school districts around the state of Missouri.
Right.
Enrollment somewhere in various courses of almost 20,000 students across the state. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot already this morning about this worldwide pandemic and how things have changed and how our economy has changed and now we're in a conversation about how learning has changed.
Right.
And I believe that one of the things that has made the school district that I am fortunate enough to represent be more elastic maybe than a lot of districts is that they had this backbone, they had this framework in place. Okay.
Right.
So this wasn't a scramble job for the 25,000-plus students in the Springfield School District. They morphed their education into an online and virtual system fairly quickly. And I would get daily updates of how many students had logged on and utilized that framework,
right.
that online
right.
virtual backbone for their education now from home. And, Senator, it would be 19, 20, 21,000 students
right.
in that district. That's a pretty good, in my opinion, that's a pretty good turnaround for a system that was turned on its head in a very short amount of time. So if you'll, and I know you don't serve on appropriations, but if you've gone through these budget bills, you know that this $500,000 that we're talking about right here was put forward by the governor. This was a recommendation from the governor that was then cut by the House. The Senate restored or took the governor's position on this line, which then, as our chairman has said, now becomes a conferenceable item between us and the House.
Right. No, I think you're right about launch is a program, not an ad hoc thrown together after COVID-19.
Yeah, I wanted to make that distinction because I think maybe in a little bit of your dialogue with the Senator from the 20th, you know, maybe it wasn't totally understand that this is not a new thing.
No.
Okay, this is a program that has been in place for a number of years that has shown the ability to give students in districts that may not have the courses available
right.
to them that they could
right.
in a larger district, they can now do those specific programs online.
Absolutely. Yeah, those were the arguments I was making as I sponsored Senate Bill 603, and I worked very, very hard with our former colleague, Senator Romine, on that bill. And Launch, like other virtual education programs, was set up as a virtual education model, as an online education model from the start, as opposed to trying to throw things together in response to the COVID epidemic. Now, you said you weren't telling me that 20,000 people from the Springfield School District are attending school through Launch right now.
So there's two things that I'm talking about right now.
Right, right.
The Launch program and this money allocated in the budget to expand and give more resources to more districts by building out that infrastructure is one conversation.
Right.
The 20,000 number that I referenced earlier was one of these daily tabulations of how many students within the Springfield School District were actually utilizing during this COVID-19, everyone staying at home and not going to school outbreak, they were utilizing online coursework within our Springfield public
schools. Okay, not necessarily through Launch, though.
Now, this is where it's going to get fun
because
the Launch program has over 20,000 enrollments statewide.
So you're talking about two different 20,000.
Right,
okay,
over 260 school districts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
quick math, it's about half the school districts in the state are in one capacity or another utilizing this program.
Right, right. Well, so if there are 20,000 school students around the state who do something through Launch, and some might do full-time virtual and others might do one or two courses.
Yeah, I think a lot of them use it as a you know, addition to their other standard coursework
right,
in the classroom,
right.
and then they can take maybe an advanced math or science,
right. and I think some
chemistry,
do. I think
like
some
that.
Do full-time virtual through Launch
sure.
as well. So the our statutes, Senator, already provide a mechanism for funding for those courses that those students take through Launch. You know, and it's a fairly straightforward formula. It's for one course, it's 17% of the state adequacy formula amount. And 100% if someone is doing full-time virtual. So I guess my question of you would be, I mean, it sounds like Launch is one of the successful virtual providers, and there are many virtual providers in the state of Missouri. Why should Launch specifically get an extra $500,000 in these really challenging tight economic times?
Well, I think this fits in a much broader conversation about the next generation of workforce in this state and workforce development in general. Okay? Because I think as this model of education evolves, programs like this that already are successful and already have the number of students that are associated with Launch, this to me makes it a very easy recommendation to allow that system to build out and be utilized by more students around the state. I don't see this as you've sort of described as this is, well, we're gonna just outline this one program and say this is the only one that's going to get this specific additional revenue.
Well, it is.
This was a recommendation from the governor that now becomes conferenceable because the House didn't have it in, and I'm sure there will be further discussion on it. But to me, I see a whole lot of value in the next generation of workforce in this state being able to utilize a program like this that's already been successful.
Well, you know, it wasn't in I understand it wasn't in Desi's budget. That this $500,000 launch appropriation was not in Desi's budget.
It may not have been in the department recommendation. It was in the governor's recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
And a lot of times, through all these appropriation bills, you'll see sometimes recommendations from departments, and then the governor, and they're all different in one way or another. And this is how this plays out, Senator.
Well, I pulled up the statute here of qualifications for online providers under MOCAP, under the Missouri Course Access and Full-Time Virtual School Program. And, it says in subsection 5, the department shall establish an authorization process for full-time or virtual school providers that provide multiple opportunities for submission each year pursuant to the timeline established by the department, authorized course or full-time virtual school providers. And it lists a number of provisions that a provider needs to meet to participate in MOCAP. And it was never, and as much as you say good things about Launch, and I don't doubt that it is an excellent provider, there are dozens, if not perhaps hundreds, of providers in our state. And the idea is we want to set up a system of robust, fair competition so that the best providers can rise to the top, that the better providers can be, districts can direct students in that direction, and the ones that don't do so well that they can be directed away from that. And I think once we start singling out in the budget a particular online course provider for an extra $500,000, I don't think it makes sense. I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's appropriate, and it certainly doesn't fall within the intent of Missouri's Course Access and Virtual School Program. So I really do see why the House Budget Chair pulled this item out, and I think that this money could be spent better places, for instance, on rural broadband.
Senator, I think it's important to remember that as this process has played out over the last 5 months, and really it starts before then. It starts. I mean, you know this. It's like a lot of legislation. It starts in the fall. It starts in the late summer. It really never stops, right?
Right.
And our appropriations process is a culmination of literally.
Sure.
Thousands and thousands of hours and thousands of specific lines that are debated just like we're doing right here. And ultimately what I hope we come up with is a very good product and a very good value for the citizens of this state. And I believe wholeheartedly in this program and what it's been able to do, and I think there's no finer example given the world, the reality that we're living in right now, and how, like I said earlier, how the education systems have been upended. It actually, to me, showed that when the framework and the backbone is in place, it's a much easier transition for the students. It makes all kinds of sense to me that we would want to expand a program like this, whether it's in a specific district or somewhere else from around the state, but this is the one that I am most familiar with.
Right.
This is the one that I have the most data on.
Right.
And I think returns the best value to the students all over the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
This isn't a tiny program with three courses, or this isn't a for-profit institution that seeks to that seeks to sell to a district a program. This is something that has been built from within a school district already and has, in my opinion, shown successes in classrooms around the state and now in homes around the state. So I think this is a tremendous value, not only just for the taxpayers of this state, but for all the students who we are now in a new kind of world of education until hopefully, as a parent, they start back in school next fall.
Well, what I would say, Senator, is many of the things you have said about launch are true of many other virtual programs around the state. There is, for Grandview, for instance, has over a decade of experience educating many hundreds of students in summer school, and I think they've done an excellent job. And again, singling out one does not make sense. So thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
Mr. President?
Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward. Senator, has your amendment been distributed?
I'm sorry. It has not been distributed. I will not close until it has been distributed, and I would move for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption, and feel free to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Mr. President, this is the amendment that I alluded to in my conversation with the Senator from Andrew and the Senator from Green. This simply removes from the bill in section 2.070, page 6, line 4, the $500,000 that I believe has been inappropriately allocated to one particular Missouri virtual school provider and moves it over to an area of very pressing need in our state, which is rural broadband, specifically rural broadband for our public schools. So, Mr. President, I'd be happy to take any questions. If not, I'd renew my motion.
The senator from the 2nd District moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill Number 2002. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Green.
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to belabor this for the body, but I am going to give the body just a minute while our doormen are handing out this amendment to walk through just a little bit about how this appropriations process has played out over the last 5 plus 6 months in the world that we live in now with the extended break that we had around our legislative spring break. As I mentioned in my dialogue with Senior Senator from St. Charles, this appropriations process takes literally thousands and thousands of man hours to put together. And it's been mentioned, you know, a few times that this is just an incredibly compressed environment, and that is correct. But I believe we still have before the body a good product. And what I would like for everyone on the Senate floor to be aware of is that this body is built on tradition and it's built on trust, and it has been, other than very technical, small changes, it has been the tradition of this body to trust in the process and trust in your appropriations chair and the committee that works sometimes day and night to put these bills together. And it's not always perfect, and we have a process here that is available on the floor to amend these bills. I would ask that the members remember what is built in this environment of trust with the committee processes, and specifically our constitutional duty here to pass a balanced budget. And we can argue about whether we're cutting enough out of this budget or whether we've used too many federal dollars, and we can have those high level discussions. But I would I would ask the body to remember that these conversations that are before you right now are a culmination of days and days and weeks and months worth of work. These are negotiated between members not only in this chamber, but our counterparts on the other side of the building, the executive from the second floor and his office, and literally thousands of organizations around the state. And perhaps it's ironic that, you know, I rise right now to kind of give this general background on an amendment that does also affect the district that I represent. But broader, bigger than that, a bigger conversation than that is, I would ask that the body respect the members of the Appropriation Committee and the work that they've put into this, and trust that the process has played out and will continue to play out in a honest and open and transparent way. And as much as I believe in rural broadband, and we'll get to some lines later on in these bills where we have made significant investments in that endeavor, I would ask that the body defeat this amendment and keep in mind moving forward that the members of your Appropriations Committee have worked tirelessly to put this, what I believe is the best possible product given the environment, together. And I would ask that we vote no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator from Andrew.
Mr. President, speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just want to let folks know, in keeping with the reasons that the Senator from Green has put forth, and the Governor's wishes and the Governor's request, you know, I would encourage the body to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've heard a little bit moments ago about Senate tradition. And we are told that it is not the Senate tradition to do floor amendments on budget bills. And that's sort of true. But every year there are amendments on Senate budget bills. In fact, the Senator from Andrew offered an amendment to a Senate budget bill just about an hour ago. Every year there are amendments that are considered. And just a few years ago, there was a floor amendment offered by the former senator from St. Francis that increased our spending by tens of millions of dollars that our budget chair at the time said we did not have, the state of Missouri did not have, and yet this body did that. I would also remind this body that only 13 senators serve on the Senate Appropriations Committee, that many times those senators try to give their input to the Appropriations Committee, and many times they are ignored. Many times the Appropriations Committee does things on their own. And I'm not saying there is anything malign in that. In any committee, there's the obligation to make choices. But when members don't agree, that is what the perfection process is for. To pretend that other bills on this floor can be the subject of vigorous amendment and debate, but that somehow appropriation bills are sacred, is nonsense. I would say that I would point out again that DESE did not put this item in its budget. The House's position on this item is zero. I would say that in a Senate tradition is one thing, but the oath we swear is to uphold the laws and the Constitution of the state of Missouri. If we read the statutory section enacted by Senate Bill 603 in 2018, it is very clear that our laws, our statutes, provide a mechanism by which virtual schools get funded. And to single out one particular virtual school program for preference for $500,000 in these tough budget times above all other virtual programs in the state is utterly inappropriate. So In all due respect to the budget process to which the senator from Green alluded, I believe the Senate budget process made a mistake on this one, and therefore I offer this amendment and I move its adoption. Thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the 2nd District has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2002. All those opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment has been defeated. We are back on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee Substitute offered by the senator from Andrew. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on the adoption of the substitute.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2002 be adopted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll. The chair stands yet corrected again. The adoption motion for the Senate Committee Substitute is a voice vote, not a roll call vote. We are on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee Substitute. The senator from Andrew has closed on that. It will be a voice vote. All those in favor of the motion to adopt the Senate Committee Substitute signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate Committee Substitute has been adopted. Senator from Andrew County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 2002 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the center motion from the senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2002 be read a third time, finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2002, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Barton? Votes aye. By your vote of 27 aye and 4 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask that you once again recognize Senator from Andrew for a motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill 2003 with the Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew, the bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003. This is the Department of Higher Education and Workforce Development budget bill. Deals with all of our institutions of higher education. Some of the noticeable things, the House, with the best information that they had at the time, you know, had extended some reductions to the higher ed budget that the governor did with the withholds. We decided to use some funds called the Federal Budget Stabilization Fund to put the money back in there to try to keep those institutions level funded, to restore that. It's using some funds that we do believe we're going to have the dollars for, but if those dollars, and we structured it in such a way that if the federal dollars don't come through, then we basically go back to the House position as to where they had to be. So it's our effort to try to, if the federal dollars are able to come through, and quite honestly, we do believe that these federal dollars most very likely will be there. But for instance, if they're not, like I say, then we will be at the House position as we do that. Restore some funding for precision health at UMC. Put some additional money in for fast track scholarship increase. And then again, you know, you see some reductions to some one-times. You see some reduction in a few of the other programs out there. That's pretty much it for higher education. Be happy to take any questions.
Senator from Andrew County has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for the House Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2003. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you. I renew my motion, Senator.
Senator Mr. President. Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, you have adopted the substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, Mr. President, I move the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2003 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute to House Bill 2003 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2003, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Higher Education and Workforce Development, the several divisions, programs, and institutions of higher education included therein. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown,
aye.
Burleson,
no.
Serpoy,
aye.
Crawford,
aye.
Cunningham,
aye.
Igel,
no.
Emery,
aye.
Hageman,
aye.
Hoskins,
aye.
Huff.
Aye.
Koenig. Leibler.
Aye.
Lutemeyer.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Nasheed.
Aye.
O'Loughlin.
Aye.
Onder.
No.
Riddle.
Aye.
Rizzo.
Aye.
Rowden.
Aye.
Sater.
Aye.
Schatz.
Aye.
Shoup. Sifton.
Aye.
Wallingford.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Whelan.
Aye.
Williams.
No.
Senator from the 15th votes no. Senator from the 2nd. Your vote shall be changed to an aye. By your vote of 26 aye and 5 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004 with Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 2004 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move for the adoption of this Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004. This bill deals with the Departments of Revenue and the Department of Transportation. Some of the things of notice here is again, the pay plans are all taken out of it. Some increased allowance. It's a non-count for the taxpayer refunds. Continue to work with the integrated system on their tax delivery. That's a necessary thing. On transportation side, increased funding. We put a line in for increased funding for maintenance for low volume roads. That would be our lettered routes. That are out there to have the department get some attention. Some improvements for an airport in central Missouri, and due to the efforts of Senator from Johnson County, some reductions, a number of reductions of vacant FTE were included in this, which is different in the House. With that. And there was some language change to the lottery pull tab system. So, with that, Mr. President, I do have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
It's being distributed, and looks like maybe it has been distributed. It is a clarifying language. Actually, it's something that we just missed in the process. The Tax Commission was requesting some additional P&S.
Senator, are you requesting a waiver of the reading?
You know, Mr. President, It is being distributed, and I do request a waiver of the reading.
Thank you, Senator. And would you move for its adoption and then feel free to explain it?
And I would be happy to move for the adoption of this Senate amendment. So this is something that in this fast-paced process that we've gone through, we've just missed by the Tax Commission, asked for some additional P&S in their budget that we just overlooked as we went through the process, and that's what this does. With that, Mr. President, take any questions or renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew County has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 for the Senate Committee House Senate Committee Substitute, the House Committee Substitute, House Bill 2004. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
I was trying to follow the reason. What did you say we missed and put back
this
in?
This is the State Tax Commission. The chairman called over and had requested this increase in their personal service category.
Did they give you justification for what they needed?
I think they were hoping to put in some additional staff, in particular maybe a legislative liaison.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1, Senator from the 20th District.
I inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I heard that you said pull tabs. Can you?
That doesn't do with this amendment, but that...
Can I inquire on that, the underlying bill?
Yeah. Well, that would be an underlying bill, yes.
So, on the underlying bill with the pull tabs, what was the change?
It allowed for some additional authority in the lottery pull tabs. It would allow for the number of machines that we have right now, I believe it's 500 to 600 machines. And then it would also open up locations in truck stops, and it defined the truck stops as areas of 2 acres or larger that had a restricted access to the general public.
Okay.
And it would limit it to 3 machines in that regards.
This is a rhetorical question. Did the voters vote to approve slot machines?
You know, this has been a long discussion, and the way that these pull tabs have been out there. The voters did allow vote for the lottery to go forth, and this has been part of the lottery, efforts through the years. This is run by the Division of Lottery, and so all the rules and restrictions that go along with the oversight that lottery has would go along with these machines.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 for the Senate Committee Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We are back on the motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Barry.
Mr. President, to speak on House Bill 2004.
Proceed.
Thank you. I think most all of you know by this time how I feel about gambling. And I've always been against state-sponsored gambling is what we have right now. But I'd like to direct your attention on the legislation to page 11, lines 15 through 23. And I think the Senator from Andrew already discussed what this language is, but I wanted you all to see it and see that it is in here, and that the state is authorizing an increase of gambling throughout the state of Missouri. And we're increasing the number of pull tabs. We're increasing, right now it's only supposed to be going to fraternal organizations, but no, we're going to expand it to truck stops throughout the state of Missouri. And I think this is a direct offense to our low-income people who will divert their monies toward things like this. And I really have a problem with it. We had a good discussion in the budget committee on this particular issue. There were several members of the Budget Committee that spoke out against it, but yet it did go through anyway. But anyway, I'm going to vote no on 2004. I'm not going to offer an amendment, which I could, but hopefully we can have this further discussion on it. This bothers me a lot. So with that, Mr. President, thank you very much.
Further discussion on the adoption of the Senate substitute, Senator from the 20th District.
On the bill.
Proceed.
So years ago, I served on the budget when this came up, and it disgusted me then, and it disgusts me even more today, especially the fact that we are in the budget, as we're told we're not to do, legislate through the budget. So we're now, we've been having an ongoing discussion in this state about whether or not we should pass video lottery machines here and there, gas stations. Those bills have been filed, but that's not what we're doing. We're changing it right here in the budget. And that personally offends me. What really offended me years ago was when this was put in the budget, very few of us understood exactly the impact. And what happened is they put these machines in my area. In Southwest Missouri is where they started the pilot project. So what in effect was occurring is my constituents were paying into general revenue. So my constituents, unfortunately those that don't know math and were using these machines, were basically sending it to general revenue, which funds everyone's school district, which that offended me even more. I totally agree with the Senator Forbury on this. I'm not a fan of funding our schools through gambling. I do not think that, and especially considering that this is the discussion that the voters have made. The voters have had opportunities to discuss and put in the Constitution their views on gambling, and sometimes they've rejected whether to expand gambling. I think us changing this in the budget is wrong, and if I wasn't already opposed to this bill, I would be opposed to it again. Thank you.
Further discussion, the senator from Newton County.
Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, do you yield to an inquiry?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, we've had a little discussion on this. I'm going to kind of repeat the prior comments that I view this as legislating in the budget, which we are not supposed to do. This is policy making. I appreciate the, machines, actually, if this is a bill where we're going to expand, do away with gray machines, and this is the trade-off, I would strongly consider this. But we're not doing that. If we're going to expand gambling, I want the state to at least benefit and have it be regulated. So I am not totally opposed to lottery machines at all. These pull tab machines are in right now, fraternal organizations. That's fine. My understanding is we haven't gotten near maxing out the number they could have because there's a limited amount of those organizations, some of which I belong to. I have concerns on this. I have doubts that this would pass were this a bill on the floor. I heard about this yesterday. I talked to you late yesterday, and it's not the budget. I'm not at all chastising the Budget Committee or anything else. This is the time frame we've got is what we've got. I saw this. I actually had my staff check about 15 minutes before this session started, and these weren't on my desk yet. And so now we're digesting this entire thing, going through it quickly. And again, that's the way it is. This is an odd year. We normally would have time to know what's going on, what's being kicked around week after week. We're not. That aside, what do you think about this? I mean, my understanding is you were not in favor of this in budget?
No, I spoke against it. A little bit about where I'm at on this, Senator. My mother and grandmother both worked at a bus stop in the Frederick Hotel in Boonville. They lived in an alley in Boonville as a little two-bedroom house with four kids in it. And I remember my mom a couple times, she wouldn't say much about it, but she talked about how she had to go into a bar and beg money from her dad to put groceries on the table. And one time they had this nice red house. Her dad was a bricklayer, and the family was. They had this nice red brick house, and they lost it, lost money.
And as you look through all this stuff and where they've been, whatever they've done, you look back and it's all attributed to gambling and to drinking. And I'm not against either one in a controlled circumstance, et cetera, like that. But it always has bothered me. And that's a fairly common story with people of what it costs them. And when I see people buying lottery tickets, I wonder if, you know, who's suffering for it, or can they afford it? That's fine if they can. If it's entertainment, that's fine. If they go to the boats, that's entertainment, that's fine. But it deals with a lot of people, I think, that affects kids' lives and other people's lives. So I basically hate gambling of any kind. I've always been against it. I was against the casino boats and vote of the people, so accepted that. But I've always been against any expansion anyway. Never for years took gambling money. And then a good friend of mine that a lot of us know in here from the house said, Mike, it's time you take that money from the devil and do some good with it. So later in life, I did take vote money, in all honesty. But I've always against expanding gambling in any way, and that's how I feel to date, that I hate to see any expansion anyway.
Yep, gambling is out there. It's going to happen. In my neck of the woods, I have a gas station next to a casino. Casino is on the other side of the state line. I would love to have, if we're going to have casinos, we're going to have gambling, I wish that was a little bit more to the east and in my district so that the state would benefit from this. We can't regulate and license morality. So the issue of gambling, it's going to happen. You're right. The people did vote for that on the gambling boats. I was opposed to that also. I didn't like the idea that, again, it was going to be where those boats already were, and I don't have a river. So, again, my neck of the woods isn't going to have the jobs and everything else. This, I have concerns other than, we're legislating through the budget, which I have a concern on. B, we're restricting it to areas where it's age-restricted rooms separate from general customers. My daughter is, like 24 right now, 25. She was a truck driver for a little while. She has a CDL. She now, drives RVs delivering as opposed to semis. She stopped at these things. Inside her truck, they have that little sleep area. She had video. She had a TV. We bought her an ice box to fit it. Refrigerator, sorry. Old age. Stuff like that. The areas that I have, in my neck of the woods, we have, I would say, probably 7 truck stops at Joplin. We intersection of 2 interstates right near the state line. None of my truck stops, at last I talked to them about a month and a half, 2 months ago, when we were talking about gray machines, have a single gray machine or any sort of machine like that. They do lottery, I'm sure, in their stores. I'm okay with that. I also, if we're going to do this, if we're going to expand, I don't like the idea of it being in bars. Definitely, we had that discussion on the floor last year about putting gambling, slot machine type or gray machines and in bars where people get drunk and are a little fuzzy and may lose some more ability to control. But this kind of, to me, restricts it just to truckers. That is an odd restriction to me. That, again, these are guys that work hard. One, they're not going to go out and drink at a bar for fun, because if you get an infraction, you get any sort of a driving infraction, and you lose your CDL. So they're very sensitive on that stuff. Again, if this was in a bill and we're discussing it and we're able to bring points on it, I would be very involved in that. And I would not necessarily be negative on it, depending on how it turned out. But the way it's written here, and there's other good things in this bill, but I feel strongly enough on this bill, I'm going to vote no on Budget Bill 4. I will find out how you vote when you vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute, Senator from the 1st District.
All right, the Senator from Andrew, please.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President. Yep. So, just a couple of questions about different subject matter, although I will say I agree with much of what's just been said, both from the standpoint of my district and personally. But that being said, in looking at what we're doing in the big picture on House Bill 2004, it doesn't look like we land in a radically different place than in FY21 than in 20. My question is, there's a GR increase of $250 million, or actually slightly more than that, in funds allowed for taxpayer refunds. Could you, and forgive me if I'm asking you to repeat yourself, but could you please quickly explain to me why we have a $250 million line item for that, and why it is that despite that, we really don't wind up in a materially different place on the bottom line?
It's a non-count, and that's just to make sure that we get the refunds paid out. I would also say, Senator, that it probably has something to do with the pushing of the filing dates, from April to July.
Got it. Which is to say that these dollars are actually, if they're appropriated anywhere, they're in the FY20 supplemental, in effect, or the FY21 budget, FY20 budget itself. I mean, if it's a refund date issue and we've got things spilling over beyond July 1, that would make sense in terms of why it's a non-count. I just want to make sure that's correct.
Let me get the clarification.
I understand. No, I get it.
So, Senator, what this is it is to be able to pay the refunds in 21. So it is not on the bottom line as a non-count.
It is paying FY20 refunds in FY21.
Well, but also 21 refunds as well.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
thank you, Senator.
We should hopefully we'll be on the proper cycle next year.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Further discussion on the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Barton.
President, may I inquire the Senator from Barry?
Senator from Barry, do you yield to an inquiry?
I certainly do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Looks like you started something here.
I think it's a continuation of something.
Yes. I don't know that I had... I know I didn't know this was in here until earlier today when one of our colleagues came to me and pointed it out, and you've been on the Appropriations Committee for a number of years. I think your full time in the Senate, you've been on the Appropriations, haven't you, Senator?
7 years in the Senate, and then 7 years in the House.
So, and there have been attempts to legislate through the budget before.
There has been attempts, and some of them have been successful, and some of them
have
not.
That was my next question. I couldn't remember if we had actually... successfully may be the wrong word there, but inappropriately legislated through the budget before or not. I knew there had been attempts.
Yes, it's happened. A good example is managed care throughout the state of Missouri.
That's right. That was the big one, wasn't it, Senator?
Right. Yeah. We used to just have managed care along the I-70 corridor.
Right.
And then we kept expanding it a little bit. And then finally we went statewide a couple years ago.
And usually... My recollection.
Just for children and pregnant females, though.
Say it again, Senator.
Just for children and pregnant females.
Yeah. But my recollection isn't as complete as yours, but it's my recollection that usually when that happens, it's because there is considerable concern that it would not pass in the body here in the chamber, and so it would be slipped into the budget.
Is that
accurate or inaccurate?
That is accurate to some extent. I think sometimes it's expedient to do it this way because, as you know, it's difficult to get. I don't care how great a bill it is. Sometimes it just doesn't get to the finish line after so many bills it's competing against to get through. And so it's something that we really need to have done. An expedient, although that's debatable also, then sometimes it goes through the Budget Committee.
And it I don't know that it's really appropriate to put the Appropriations Chair in that position, frankly.
No, he's doing a very good job, but he has a lot of pressure on him to do certain things. And I appreciate the job he's doing, and I do have some sympathy for him.
Sure. No, I agree. I just don't see it as appropriate. You mentioned earlier that you're not the only one on appropriations that spoke out against this. I think Senator Webster said he also did.
There were five senators who spoke against the language amendment, and it did end up passing 9-4. The bill ended up passing 9-4.
Right,
we never did have a roll call vote on the language amendment.
In the amendment, okay.
Right, which I think would have been interesting.
Well, I agree with you and the others that have spoken out that this is a clear expansion of gambling.
Yes, it is. You can't deny it. It expands it in the number of pull tab machines,
right,
and it expands it in going from fraternal organizations to also to truck stops.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the senator from Newton mentioned about he has several truck stops over in his area, and you're familiar with the Joplin area, and that's
right.
There's a lot of commerce going right through there.
A lot there on I-44.
Right, and he said there is no gray machines in those truck stops.
Right.
And I believe him, you know, that's for sure. But I've always been against the state. It's really puzzling to me that the state would be involved in gambling.
Yeah.
I didn't
grow up ever thinking that.
No.
And we have moved more and more in that direction, and this is another step further into that arena, which, you know, I agree with you in that it just seems inappropriate and certainly untimely, even if it wasn't inappropriate, given the current circumstances with unemployment and the other things that are going on, and more likely, you know, people who may not be thinking as straight as they normally would with all the pressures of the stay at home and the other things and the lack of community and the other things that would help to stabilize an individual.
Yes.
I think that the impact will be even greater than it would be at another time.
I think with the current environment that is going on right now, that it puts a lot of pressure on families and a lot of uncertainty as to what am I going to be able to do in a month? Can I feed my family?
Right.
And it might push people more to take chances. Yeah.
When we're desperate, we don't always think things through as well.
That's right. It's like alcohol.
Right.
You don't have rational thinking. And I think with mental pressure through financial hardships, it's the same thing.
I agree.
Anyway, I'm glad to know that we feel similar to how we feel about this.
Yep, I agree. And I believe that the vote on this bill will be, in fact, a referendum on expansion of gambling.
This is my opinion only, but I think anybody who votes for this bill is wanting to expand gambling.
Yep. I agree. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you taking my inquiry.
Thank you.
Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. And I do try to appreciate the kind of pressures that you're under as the Appropriations Chair and the work that you and have tried to maneuver here. I just have a question for you. Is this a conferenceable item?
It would be.
Okay, so it would be conferenceable between what limits?
I think the present language that's in the budget right now, which is, I think it's 500 machines in the fraternal organizations. Six machines per fraternal organization. I think those are kind of the strictures right now.
Okay. Was it in the House version at all?
It was not.
Okay. So it's fully conferenceable.
Yes.
It could
well,
even be
from the 500 to the 600.
Right. Right.
Versus where we are under
current law.
Right.
Okay, I got you. But the changes are fully conferenceable.
From the 500 to the 600 and then
600.
Moving
right.
into truck stops with 2 acres or more.
Well, I appreciate it. I would encourage you as chairman.
And it would be 3 machines in truck stops with a
where there are segregated area. Where there are none now.
There's none. That's right. You're right. And all of those additions would be comparable.
Right. And I would encourage you as chairman to to take some of the comments here. I know you take all these comments seriously. Senator. I know you do that. I know you well enough to know that. Into that conference committee, and I would encourage you to push to get this language out of the conference committee report and to maybe see what the vote is today to get a sense of where the body is. And I appreciate you taking my inquiry, Senator. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire for the Senator from Barry.
Senator from Barry, do you yield?
I certainly do.
He certainly does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
No, thank you for the inquiry, and thank you for your comments earlier. I wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of Senate tradition.
Yes.
Because a little bit earlier, I offered an amendment to House Bill 2002, and I think we all agree that it is I'll just call it a soft tradition of the Senate to not offer a lot of amendments to budget bills.
It is. That's something I didn't know about when I first came into the Senate.
Right. Because we serve together in the House, and it's and a free-for-all.
Anything goes there.
It's a free on the on budget free. Bills on the House floor. It is a free-for-all.
It is.
And I think we could agree whether we agree that it's an appropriate tradition not to offer amendments on Senate on budget bills in the Senate. We don't want to be like the House with that kind of free-for-all.
Right.
Although I'm not so sure the idea of adding and reducing amendments isn't such a bad idea. In other words, if you're going to spend more over here, show me where you're going to get the money.
Yeah, they started that in the House 3 or 4 years ago, I think, and I think that's a good idea.
Well, I think we even had it. I don't know if it changed for a little while, because I think we had it when you and I were in the Senate. I was in the House, rather, only for 2 years, 07, 08, and I think we had it then. Weren't we adding and reducing in those years?
Depends on, I think, toward the end of my session, my term, we changed it.
We changed it.
But
okay.
I think the first 4 years, anything...
Anything went. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway. But, you know, while that, I would call not doing floor amendments to budget bills a kind of a softer Senate tradition. Not legislating in the budget is a pretty strong tradition.
Yeah, but, you know, if something is very, very important to you, I think that you should have the ability to voice your concern,
right,
and even, offer an amendment.
Right.
I mean, if it's something that's just very dear to your heart.
Only 13 of us serve on the Appropriations Committee, and sometimes things come out to the floor not the way we want it, just like bills, policy bills come out of committee not exactly the way we want it, and that's why we have a perfection process.
And I wish we would have had a longer period of time.
Yes.
To contemplate on what we are doing.
Yes.
And as you know, sometimes when you rush things through, you make mistakes.
Right, right.
And to me, this may be a mistake also.
I tend to agree with you, too. I think that that whether there's some place of compromise between gray games and VLTs and more poll tabs or fewer poll tabs or whatever, I think that's a very important policy discussion. But I think legislating that in a budget bill.
Of course, my policy on this would be to have zero poll tabs.
Yes. Yes. I think the senator from Barton made this point. I've never been a big advocate of expansion of gambling, period. But to me, it's almost more offensive when the government takes advantage of its citizens. Because remember how, I don't know if those are still, the ads for the Missouri Lottery. At the end, I don't know if this disclaimer is at the bottom of those ads anymore, but it used to say, this ad is for informational purposes only. Do you remember those disclaimers?
Yeah.
I don't think those are on the lottery ads anymore.
I don't pay too much attention to those ads, so I don't really read them thoroughly. I do know one thing, that I have no idea why we are spending over $10 million a year to advertise the lottery.
To advertise the lottery. And those ads for the lottery, they sound like get-rich-quick schemes. You know, you can, you know, you can't win unless you play, and you know, and
it's for the kids.
Win loads of cash and so on, and it's for the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids.
I find those, you know, more offensive than private for-profit companies and gaming.
Yeah,
Because the government. The government essentially, it's another tax. It's a tax on, in some cases, people's addictions, because we know people become addicted to gaming.
Yeah, I don't understand why. It's, when we have cut the advertising for the lottery proceeds continue to go up.
Right.
So to me, it doesn't make any difference whether you advertise or not.
Right, right. No, I think people buy tickets when they're in the gas station or what have you. But yeah, this really did usurp a major, you know, policy debate that's been going on in our legislature for some time. And you know, I'm with you. It is a conferenceable item, or the senator from Barbin mentioned.
Yes,
it's a conferenceable item. Just like I urged the House position on a previous item we discussed, I would urge the House position on this.
I'm hoping. You know, I did not offer an amendment, and I'm hoping that maybe with this discussion that there's going to be a change here on the floor.
Yes.
But I'm hoping.
Okay. Well, thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Hearing none, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 2004 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate committee substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate committee substitute for House Bill 2004 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion and close.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate committee substitute for House substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill number 2004 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate committee substitute for House substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill number 2004. An act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Revenue, the Department of Transportation, and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo,
aye.
Rowden, Sater, Schatz,
aye.
Shoup, Sifton,
aye.
Wallingford,
no.
Walsh,
aye.
White,
no.
Whelan,
aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Senator for the fifth. Votes aye. By your vote of 21 aye and 10 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from the 1st District.
Callaway.
Senator from Callaway, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I shared your reluctance, and I would like to nominate that roll call as among the unlikeliest that we have seen in the body this year.
I would agree.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be making a recess motion momentarily for your benefit and for the benefit of those in the body, just to give everybody a quick few minutes to maybe grab a little food. It's going to be a quick break. Make sure that the ladies that are doing the work have some time to stretch their legs, etc. So we're going to take about a 15-20-minute recess, and then we'll come back and finish the budget.
Senator, your inquiry sounded like an announcement to me.
I just didn't want to go to that order of business, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 1:50 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 1:50 p.m. this day.